How did one of the Midwest's largest nursing home operators get $20 million in loans designed for small businesses?
Peterson and all these nursing homes, they're nothing more than cash cows.
That's nursing home watchdog Brian Lee. I'm Ryan Denham, and this is WGLT's The Leadoff.
Support for WGLT's The Leadoff comes from the Central Illinois Regional Airport in Bloomington, with nonstop flights to Denver on Frontier Airlines. The Mile High City is just one flight away. Schedules and information at CIRA.com.
It's Friday, July 24th. Coming up, what you need to know to start your day. It's The Leadoff from WGLT, Bloomington Normal's public media. Now let's lead off with the owner of a Bloomington nursing home where 11 people died after contracting COVID-19. It's now accepted $20 million in loans through the Paycheck Protection Program. It's about 200 times the average amount for a program designed to help much smaller businesses. Peoria-based Peterson Healthcare is one of the largest nursing home operators in the country. Facilities include Bloomington Rehab and other nursing homes in El Paso, Farmer City, East Peoria, and Peoria Heights. Peterson and affiliated companies were approved for as much as $57 million through 53 separate PPP loans. That's according to data released by the U.S. Small Business Administration, or SBA. Ultimately, Peterson accepted only $20 million in PPP loans. That's the maximum allowed under the SBA's limit for so-called corporate groups. But even that is high relative to other borrowers. The average loan amount for businesses in the Bloomington Normal area was closer to $86,000. The national average was $100,000. In a statement, Peterson executives said the company is really comprised of a bunch of smaller businesses, all of those nursing homes located in small communities all over Illinois. Peterson says it did qualify by meeting the SBA's alternative size standard, basically a maximum net worth and net income. If PPP loan eligibility rules sound confusing, that's because they are. Here's Constantine Yanellis, Assistant Professor of Finance at the University of Chicago Booth School of Business.
The rules were very difficult to follow and opaque initially when the program was being rolled out.
Peterson says the coronavirus has put added financial stress on downstate and rural nursing homes, including added staffing and supply costs. It's also blamed the state's low Medicaid reimbursement rates. Brian Lee is executive director for Families for Better Care. It's a watchdog group for nursing homes. He says, yeah, Illinois' Medicaid payment rate is lousy, but nursing homes are still cash cows. Lee says he was not surprised to hear that Peterson received so much in PPP loans.
They know how to again, maximize their profitability. They're experts at that.
The industry says even more government support might be needed to keep nursing homes from going under. Here are some other stories we're following in the WGLT newsroom. There are 18 new coronavirus cases reported yesterday in McLean County. That's the second highest daily total we've seen since the pandemic began. The testing positivity rate also ticked up to 2.5%. Three more ISU student-athletes have tested positive for the virus. A fourth tested positive last month. They're members of the Redbird football and men's basketball teams. And Tesla has filed a lawsuit accusing Rivian of an alarming pattern of poaching its employees and stealing trade secrets. Rivian says the suit is baseless and runs counter to Rivian's culture, ethos, and corporate policies. And those stories and more at WGLT.org. McLean County government will continue to meet virtually until at least December as pandemic health concerns persist. County Board Chairman tells Eric Stock why he withdrew his plan to resume in-house committee meetings.
The major consideration was we started to have an uptick in more cases, positive cases, and it's kind of a complex decision-making process because we do have, you know, our meetings are open to the public and the public can come in. There is no law that says we can totally enforce face mask wearing, and I just felt after looking at the situation that as a leader of the county board, it would be best for the health and welfare and safety, not only our members, but also our staff and members that might come in the public, to try to just keep our operation as consistent as possible and work and avoid any type of concerns or conflicts, and so we could keep focused on doing the business for the county and just working on things that are important for providing the services
And so the committee meetings have been live streamed since this move happened in March. Will this video streaming continue, or may it continue once they go back to in-person meetings, whenever that may be?
Well, that decision will have to be made, in December, when we have the new board and the reorganizational meeting. We also have all the rules submitted. And so at that time, the Rules Committee would submit any suggestions. Then the board would take a look at that and vote on whether they want to continue to stream committee meetings or not. The number of people that have watched our committee meetings, we've done some studies on that. Our tech department has. Some people will tune in for parts of a meeting, but the report that there's been 1,000 people would be maybe a total aggregate amount for all of our meetings, and we've had 10 meetings a month. But there is some interest in that, and obviously we want to be transparent. You know that we've always had our audio recordings online of our committee meetings, and of course the minutes, and they're all public.
But not live, though.
But not live. That is correct. And so I would just wait and see.
What is the cost associated with that streaming of these additional meetings? You're looking at, five or six committee meetings a month in addition to the monthly county board meeting.
I believe with all the meetings, including, I think has been closer to 10 meetings. We have our committee meetings plus the full board meeting plus PVC plus the Board of Health meeting was also streamed. I think it was a $245 figure in that range for one meeting. And then the full meeting, I think, was $275.
That was McLean County Board Chairman John McIntyre speaking with Eric Stock. Before we let you go, a heads up that the group Progressive Voices of Central Illinois is hosting a Black Lives Matter rally in March, starting at 5 o'clock Sunday night outside Stevenson Elementary School. That is it for today. Have a great weekend. Support for WGLT's The Leadoff comes from the Central Illinois Regional Airport in Bloomington, with nonstop flights to Denver on Frontier Airlines. Mile High City is just one flight away. Schedules and information at CIRA.com.